This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Do you guys even need me for this? Do y'all match always?
Well, I didn't even notice that. Oh my god. That's sad.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh really? So you're both bouncers at Sushi Roku now? What's happening?
Listen, we got a grease rehearsal after the show. I'm Zuko, he's kidding me.
Was there a sale at Filene's basement?
Holy shit, bro, put something back on.
I can't. I'm hot. Right?
No, it's okay. You're fine, Pete, because yours is a V-neck.
No. Oh, God.
Another reason I've fallen out of love with you today. I feel like I'm good. At least the crush is gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
keep telling yourself that.
Are you hot?
Am I hot?
Yeah, in here.
I'm all right.
Okay, we're bored.
Oh, by the way, I told you like four times you look fantastic.
I'm sweltering hot, but we're...
I am going to get a new shirt.
I'm very hot. I'm a professional and I'm going to trudge forward.
No. We are boiling in here. That's why I took the jacket off. Sorry.
Do you not have air conditioning in your sound studio?
We do.
Home?
It's just apparently not on.
Yeah.
Right. No, it is on, but we're not getting anything.
There's lighting. Okay. Everyone in here is wearing more clothes than you guys. Stop complaining.
I'm going to change.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, it's just too much of the same outfit, bro.
But they already know that.
It's fine. Bro,
what? You think someone's going to change the channel?
This is viral.
By the way, I have is V-neck, so it's not like I was going to go get you a round collar to get back on the good
changes,
side.
Spit out your gum.
No,
this is an audio platform. God,
I knew I would never be able to write on a show that you were a showrunner. Because I go to pitch something, and you go, can you take the gum out so we can all hear you, Pete? And I go, how about I just quit?
No,
how about I do that instead?
It's fine to do in a writer's room. It's just on an audio...
I don't know.
This is an audio thing. I think the one rule is don't chew gum.
There was kids crawling on the table 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Gum don't matter.
And
now.
They're stars. Okay.
That's true. That's true. You're right.
She's the next Shirley Temple. God. What are you talking about?
Take the gum out for me.
You take it out for me.
Take it out. I'm surprised you have it in too. I generally speaking, I never see you with gum on the show.
I've never not had gum in my mouth.
I've
in
never
10
seen
years.
You haven't noticed.
Yeah, it's good. You don't do a deep mouth look.
I've never seen two more talented people at one thing be so confused about how podcasting works.
Oh,
Pete's chewing gum and Sebastian's whispering.
I'm whispering. That's why we have no views.
Yeah.
I don't even see this being an interview type vibe here.
Not yet. Not yet.
We don't know.
Oh my God.
Do you want to reschedule again?
Front of the line. This is Aaron. This is our next show. This is hot.
This is live.
Yeah. By the way, I would write on any show you're on. Show. Don't want to take a job away from myself, all right?
No, I would love
I'm
to.
I'm not a fast typo, though, but I got good jokes.
By the way, that's not how writers really
I know. I was blown away when I got my first job. I called my wife. I'm like, you don't even need a computer. There's a guy there. I can say that. He types. It's great. He even deletes it when I go, that, take that out. He goes, fucking awesome.
Oh, God. Is this the show?
Oh, man. Yeah. What's wrong with it?
No, I love it. Jesus. I'm just trying to figure out if we're going or
yes, we're going.
It's recording, right?
We were going.
Yeah, just get the internet will Photoshop that and we're good.
Oh God!
Oh gosh, I love this. How many episodes are you guys on?
This is
what are we?
592.
500.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We do this for the fun of it.
Wait, you're almost at 600 episodes.
Yes.
Not making a dollar.
Yeah.
It costs money.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. The emotional cost, incalculable.
And there was one show I forgot to hit record, so 601.
This is actually kind of funny to me because, okay, so Pete, you're the only comedian I've ever for a second had a crush on.
Right.
For 1 second. I didn't know you were married at the time. Or I don't know. Right. Who cares?
Why does it have to be 1 second?
It was very quick.
All right.
But could you tell us where this was? Was he performing? Did you meet him at the...
It starts with my terrible childhood.
All right.
And the fact that I'm attracted to people that are somewhat curmudgeonly and come off miserable. Because I'm like, I can save them with my personality.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were leaning against a wall in, I want to say, Montreal. I don't know what you, it was, I don't know if you were practicing for West Side Story. I don't know what was happening, but you were like this guy at Montreal and all the other comedians, you know what I mean? Were all like so autistic and shaky and insecure and you just weren't.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's that guy?
Right.
And this was, oh my God, I don't know when it was. When would Montreal have been like 10? Did you do it like 12 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a few different times. So I remember we were in a gym. That's the one time I remember. We were both in a hotel gym at the same time. So
I don't remember that.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people working out, but my point is that was like the one year I remember you being there 1 year.
I did her podcast yesterday, and I mentioned that, you know, we do a podcast, you know, with Pete Corleone. She goes, God, I had the biggest crush on him. I go, what? She goes, yeah, it's Just for Laughs. I saw him. I'm like, he's like, man, God, he's so fucking Italian and alpha right up my alley.
Well, from now on, I'm going to have to say Whitney Cummings is one of the funniest female comedians on the planet.
Anyway, why does everyone with the dates are a long time ago?
Okay.
But and I know this isn't even what we were bringing it up.
No, but what was the gym? Was that
no,
at
it was
festival?
The hotel, the main hotel.
At Montreal?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember. I was over you by then. By the time we had, I saw you and you kind of ignored me when I introduced you. And I find that hot, I guess.
Oh.
Or back then.
Where did you introduce me?
I introduced myself to you and you ignored me.
Oh.
And you were like kind of rude. Probably not on purpose.
You would have catched me out back then, and you know, so yeah, I was probably not so happy.
And then I just was like, oh, okay, and that was it.
All right. Well, luckily, the crush was a second.
It was a quick crush. It was because then you were nice to me, and then so I was over you.
That's the key. You gotta be a dick.
And then Sebastian and I have, when I tell you, like, I mean, done things that are so romantic. I've never done as romantic things with anyone else before or since, and still just violently platonic.
Really?
I mean, the more romantic moments we have together, the more brother and sister this dynamic gets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
really?
We went to Dubai together, sat on a plane next to each other. I mean, hands kept hitting each other, and Sebastian be like, what, can you move up?
Like,
nothing. He does not have a girlfriend at the time. I do not have a boyfriend at the time. I have pictures of you and I on the beach in bathing suits. There's photos of me like frolicking in a bathing suit that he took. I mean, I'm so nervous because he's like, can you do that? He's just so annoyed, but I look like I'm being trafficked. I'm just like, take the picture. We've done so many romantic things, but zero.
Wow. Now, look at that. All I had to do was lean against the wall.
This
all the way to Dubai. Nothing.
I think that it's any possible anything Sebastian could have ever thought. Like, oh, what about Whitney? He was so disgusted by my behavior on a plane.
No, it wasn't. It was, you know, this is where I knew I was like, where I knew, I knew she was taking off. She was writing jokes and she had like papers and shit. And I had an iPod.
Touch.
And her whole thing was like, oh man, I'm making movies. I'm fucking doing TV. What are you doing over there? And I told Pete this before you got here. I didn't know how successful you were just because I wasn't piped into what was happening with you. This is embarrassing. In the hallway, I don't know if you know if you remember this. I said, hey Whitney, I got a contact over at Premium Blend. It was like one of these shows where you get 5 or 6 minutes, and I think I could get you on. And you looked at me like, I'm doing an hour special.
Like, he did not say it like that.
No, but it was like, oh, you don't know what's like, you were far beyond that, and I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea you were doing a TV show, The Broker. I had no idea what you were doing. I just saw, oh, she's coming to the Comedy Store, and she's really funny, and maybe I could give her like a helping hand. Little did I know, she was getting me specials, you know. So I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I didn't know where you were, and I don't even know if you remember that I came. Do you even remember? That story?
I I feel like if you talked to me in the hallway at all, I would have remembered. Sebastian gets in and out of the Comedy Store at like an ostrich with his head in the sand. Like, he just will walk by you, make eye contact with you, and you're like, not tonight. Tonight's not the night. He's gonna say hello.
Well, listen, and we talked about this on an earlier podcast. I feel Whitney is one of these people that is in the know. Like, you on your Instagram, I don't know if you've ever done this.
Oh, she was the queen of Montreal when I was there.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Whitney.
What?
Don't act like you're not popular.
You could
know
have
it.
Been the first man of Montreal you passed.
I know. I blew it. You could have been in a freaking sitcom. I mean, leaning against the wall. Why didn't you ask me to be in a freaking sitcom? Know. Nothing. God damn it. Jesus. You know? Guy freaking looks like me. I'm casting myself. Then not only did you have Whitney, because you're talking about like her having the hour. I remember when that show didn't go, I didn't even know you had the Two Broke Girls was you. I'm like, holy shit, you're going from lot to check on your shows.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
And you were in the know with like celebrities, right?
Yeah. I hear this.
Well, I was looking at your Instagram and this was back then. I go, God, she knows a lot of people, right?
Right.
Now I don't see that as much from
you. Says the guy who like hangs out with De Niro.
No, I don't hang out with De Niro. I work with De Niro, and there was no going out to dinner for 9 weeks. Okay. There was no, hey, what are you doing after?
Yeah, I know.
He was opening up a Nobu while we were on set.
You've probably had pop stars bring over their latest album so you could hear it before it comes out, right? Am I right?
By the way, I mean, no, I don't know. Why do people do think I'm friends with a lot of celebrities? I think that what I'd say the most annoying part is, I think when you're a female comic, I don't know if this happens with guys too. Really beautiful women want to be my friend, like models, like big pop stars, because I think it makes them seem funny. It's every beautiful woman's dream to be thought of as funny, right? Yeah. So these like, I'll go to like an event or, you know, the People's Choice Awards or whatever, and all the like super gorgeous actresses will like want to hang out with me and like, like, so that other people think they're funny. And then I'm like, I don't want to be around a model. Like, this is my nightmare. Like, I don't want to be friends with you, but you want to come off as funny. So I end up sort of like having, I guess.
Yeah, it's like an accidental leader of the pack sort of a thing, man. Yeah. Like, she would be at the Skybox if she went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
What?
Like you don't sit in like, listen, you don't sit in like Gen Pop, right?
No.
I didn't even get invited. You were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were there.
I get it. And I wasn't invited.
Is that an aura ring?
Yeah, it is. And I slept at 92 score last night, by the way. Do you have one?
I don't have one.
Okay.
Because why, like, what's the, so you need a device to tell you how you slept.
Right. It's fun. It's fun.
If you wake up, you're like, I've no,
right.
Can you just ask Lana? How many other ways are you trying to replace your wife with technology?
No, my wife would not even know if I was on fire in bed. that's how
but
deep she sleeps.
What happens if you slept, you felt you slept well, but then your ring says you didn't? You go, oh, you're right.
Oh, you're right. No, I do good feel fun. You know what? I was, whoa.
I do feel fun.
I want to see. It's the science backs up the feeling. So last night, take this for example. I did Pilates for the first time yesterday, right? I was exhausted at night. I got up. I felt so refreshed. I'm like, wow, let's see what the ring says. And it matched my feelings. Right. So I'm like, okay, I'm right. My feelings match the science.
But before the ring, you'd be like, I slept a lot. I'm pretty sure. But I just had to prove that.
Yeah. I know it's not just.
Yeah,
like,
I need science to back this up. I can't trust myself.
I mean, sometimes the groundhog don't see a shadow and it does
be a short winter, but that's all just a coincidence. You know what I'm saying?
You could just wear jewelry if you want.
Yeah, no, no, I'm not a jewelry
guy. You could just wear jewelry.
Just wear
jewelry.
You want to wear a Johnny Depp ring.
Wear
a,
no.
Just wear, you're Whitney's slowly right. trying to
Thank
ease
you for
us
that
into
Thank you for seeing
to rings. Not okay, not I, you yeah. can wear a ring. It's fine.
Lana doesn't like that I wear the ring when I'm not sleeping. She's like, what the fuck are you wearing that now? It's ugly and you shouldn't have it on. And I said,
it's
I don't
a
know.
Little Armenian. Like, most people don't know it's a Nuva ring, just so you know. People yeah. just think it's a ring.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're fine with that.
I'm fine with it. I'm
looks like you think that's cool. Yeah. And it's on the worst finger.
I would think it was from a dead relative and you're paying homage, like, because it's not decorative.
I think he got it at Ed Hardy.
All right. Edit this out.
Does it do anything for you during the day?
No, it monitors heart rate, exercise.
Oh, right. Where's the charger for it? Where do you put the charger?
Charger's bedside.
Okay. My bedside table. That's a big commitment.
Yeah. Oh, really? So, and you know what? I can't a lot of times get it off because I'm swollen.
Shouldn't the ring tell you, like, take me off now, you're going to get swollen
soon? It should say, a lot of salt in your diet, I'm swelling up. I can't even get off.
Take me off.
I'm trying to get this off as we're talking about it, and it's not coming off.
So you can't even charge it. It just lives there.
That's it. Doesn't even
you're
work.
You're just wearing it as jewelry. Now, I probably had a good
from?
6 minutes Wait. In that hour. I'm from Washington, D.C. I grew up half Washington, D.C., half a rural town in Virginia called Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, do you go back to either one, like, to have a home in either place?
No, sir. Not often. But I'm thinking, like, where would we go if we were going to move somewhere else? I'm obviously, like everybody else, thinking about moving, but I just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah,
I was like looking at places in Virginia. I was looking at places in Texas, but I'm just not there yet.
Right.
Where would you? You're here.
I'm already in a small town. Yeah, I live like an hour outside of Buffalo.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Is there Lyme disease up there?
Wait. Oh my God, my wife got it.
Shut up.
Yeah, we were in the woods once, and she got it.
Shot?
So crazy.
How's it going?
You said Lyme disease.
Yes.
Right? From a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From a deer.
Yeah.
I thought you said from Medea.
I said from Medea.
Medea. Why what does that have to do with
from
anything?
From a deer. I mean, why would you ask about Lyme disease of all things?
Because it's my only fear in life is Lyme disease.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a nightmare. Well, your wife got it.
Yeah, right. I know it was a nightmare.
And what happened?
But the whole thing, she got the ring on her and
yes,
stuff like that.
Yes, that's a big deal.
I know. She got medication and, you know, it took a while. She got better. But, like, I remember her hands would be swelled up. And it was bad.
That's my whole thing with living. I looked at places in Connecticut, upstate New York. I was like, baby, that's the deal. I will not live in a place where going outside with your child, you have to spread each other's butt cheeks to look for a killer bug. Like, I'm not doing it.
And I live in a village. It's called Fredonia. So I live in the village and you can't hunt deer in the village. And and now there's, like, I walk my dog in this one spot, herds of them, herds of deer. And they talk about bringing in these hunters that'll take care of these deer, but then the people in town are like, well, it's not safe if we're all here. So something's got to be done, because now it's just getting to be so much. Your dog goes a little bit off the sidewalk. Everyone's like, get the dog, bring it back.
It's fucking deer, man. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so the Lyme disease thing, I went to the Hamptons to do a gig. There's that Hamptons whatever convention.
I don't know what he don't know.
Whatever it was.
Hampton,
you've done it.
Hamptons
fancy. What can
like,
I?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I went to the Hamptons.
Illuminati. No big deal. It was for a show. And I go outside. And the Hamptons supposed to be super fancy. It's not that fancy. I don't get it. Usually when I go to rich, fancy places, I'm like, this is not. I want like Mar-a-Lago. I want like gold toilets.
I want.
It's like, what is this world pretending to be poor with the sheds and the windmills? Like, it's all these rich people that are like cosplaying poor with like a fruit stand and shit. Like, I just am like, what are we doing? You guys are so
fruit
rich.
Fruit stand with no one working, just buy what you want, put the money in the box.
Yeah, totally. Like, honor system. Like, it's all these criminals, you know? And it's like the richest people in the world that it's like, let's live in a cottage for the weekend. Like, it'd be like ironic about it and have like a basket. Like, it's just like, I want literally, Sebastian and I actually, when we went to Dubai, why did it happen that you stayed at the Burj Hotel, which was the 7-star hotel, and I was at like the Hilton South?
Yeah, I had a private gig there for a wedding.
Separately,
So that's when I asked, I think, you and
Dwayne Perkins
to come and see the, oh, like, oh, this is, you want to see the room or whatever.
We go in, the walls are a fish tank.
Yeah.
Okay. We go up. My the room God. Is just like covered in gold, just marble, purple. Wow. Purple. Why is purple the color of money? Either total trash or money. Yeah, yeah. It's like purple velvet curtains. I was like, this is as a growing up poor, this is what I thought rich looked like. You know?
Right,
so
right.
The Hamptons, you're kind of like, what are we doing? Right. And so I'm at a gig there. We go outside. I'm like, it's in the pool or something. And then I get the tick. I pull it off.
Holy shit.
Where I come from in Virginia, you pull a tick off, you bite its head off, you set it on fire, it's fine. You don't have to worry about Lyme disease and stuff. So then I like posted on Instagram, just being an idiot, content. We got to push those tickets. Hey guys, like tick. And then Avril Lavigne calls me. Okay. So she is, I guess she got Lyme disease and was out for like 4 years. She was napping. For like, and she called me and she's like, you got to put the tick in a bag and you got to take the tick to the hospital and get all like an antibiotic drip or something.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of that shit, but
yeah.
I was fine.
Wow.
Greg Fitzsimmons is, I think, great comedian Greg Fitzsimmons was on an IV drip for years because of Lyme disease.
Called my wife's early because she was not going to do anything about it. And I was like, how do you know it's not a tick bite? So then she went in and the doctor she didn't have the tick, but he could tell from the bite. What it was, medication right away, pumping it in, and got it. But I mean, Avril.
Otherwise, I'd live there.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you, was that a joke about biting the head off?
No.
What do you have to do?
You want to just bite the head off the tick.
What does that do?
Just kills it. Because if you just try to kill it, I mean, unless you like, it's a big gray one and you get all the blood out, they'll stay alive.
On your body, you got to get the head off, basically, is what you're saying.
You want to rip the head off.
Yeah.
What do you mean on your body? So a tick embeds in your skin.
Yep.
And if you take the tick out, you're saying the head is caught in the skin?
Usually, but it depends on what status it is, I guess, at the time. But if it's just crawling on you and you pull it off, you do want to bite its head off so that you know it's dead.
I would think biting the head off a tick, you would get the disease just through the bite, right. No?
Right. I don't know.
But in Virginia, they don't have Lyme disease. It's only in the Connecticut, New York area, which is why there's the rumor that it's a bioweapon.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's heavy. I didn't think about that.
Where are y'all on conspiracy theories?
No, I feel like I'm not there.
But then why is it?
I feel like we're on Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
they call me Ho Rogan. So why, though, is Lyme disease only on the ticks in the Hamptons, affluent, political, important people?
Right.
Connecticut, affluent, important people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But not Virginia. People not worth killing.
Mm-hmm.
Ticks with Lyme disease are only in that area.
And what about?
How come a certain plant grows? How come there's no redwoods on Long Island? You know what I mean? Like, you could say that about anything, right?
Totally. But the thing is, it's the one bug that's everywhere, but it only gives that disease in the New York and Connecticut area.
Oh, man.
Riddle me this. I worked with Roseanne. Okay, my facts are different than yours.
I believe that.
All right, I'm on alexjones.net, not even .com. Okay.
All right, we don't normally go down these.
No, we don't.
By the way, why not? Why not? I don't. I'm kind of at the point. Where do you get your news?
Listen, I've had a Yahoo email. For a while, and I just go to Yahoo News, and I look at the four squares there.
So how is Cher doing?
And Cher's doing great. And
so how are all the Vegas shows?
Taylor Swift has an album coming out.
She does. I know. She plugged it at the Grammys.
And that tornado in Boise, only two people hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big news guy. I'm not looking for a lot of news, you know?
Neither am I. So when I hear stuff like this, I'm like, I kind of prefer gossip to news, quite frankly. And then my dad, one thing that he did, it's interesting, like I'm sure, and knowing you and your audience already knows, I'm sure that like, yeah, I don't know you as well, Pete, but like the way you became a comedian, the way your brain was trained to kind of question everything, my dad was really obsessed with making sure that I got good grades. I think because I was a girl, he had a boy before me, he really wanted to make sure I was going to succeed in life. I think he was just like, being a girl is a nightmare. He would wake me up in the middle of the night and like quiz me on spelling words when there wasn't even a test. I think he just didn't know how to have a daughter and he just wanted me to be smart. And he would drill me on future chapters. He would make up his own quizzes on a yellow legal pad to try to make up what the quiz was going to be. He would wake me up. He'd make me take the quiz before I ate breakfast in the morning, before I had anything, because he'd be like, you don't know what the circumstances of the test are going to be. Like, you don't know. You're going to be distracted. Yeah. Like, anyone can get this right when they're in the right mind. But So he would prepare me for all these things and he would drill me on all this history stuff. And then when I was done and got everything right, he closed the book and go, well, how do we know the book is right? Like, he was always like, what are these people know?
Yeah.
He's like, they weren't there. They don't know. I mean, this is like, this probably isn't true, but like, you need to memorize it all. And it always got me thinking, like, what, even the stuff we know, like, is kind of true, you know? Like, even the news, you're like, in 15 years, this is all going to be debunked anyway. It's like science. Like, I'm not going to bother learning any more science because every 15 years, remember when like acai berry was good for you? And now sugar's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing now that we think is so healthy that in 15 or what words are we not allowed to say now? Mm-hmm. And we then now we have to say, you know,
it's crazy.
Homeless. What is it? Currently unhoused or something instead of homeless.
Yep. Why do you think it's going to go back to homeless in 15 years? Or is it just going to be?
Rogan will have shot them all in the head. Yeah. There will be none left.
But like you said, it keeps changing. So why does it matter? It's like insane, you know?
And that's my thing with the news. So I'm like, the true thing is going to be debunked, I'm sure, at some point. So why not go with the crazy conspiracy theory anyway, you know?
Right. I was watching in my hotel room last night this old movie. It was called Under Siege with Annette Bening, Denzel Washington.
Sure.
And there's like a terrorist, right? And, and this is years ago. This movie came out like 25 years ago, maybe at least 30 years ago. And the people coming on going, we got no more immigration. I'm like, oh, my God, how embarrassing. We're saying the same shit 30 years later.
Same shit.
It makes you realize what idiots. It's all bullshit.
And it cracks me up when people are like, America's never been more divided. And you're like, do you not remember there was a civil war
where they
literally the North and the South were fighting each other in like fields? Like, I'm pretty sure we've been more divided.
Damn.
But yeah, everything happening today has happened. It's just looked different.
I'm so afraid I'm going to be, if I'm lucky enough to get to a certain age, you know, just sitting in my backyard and going, what the fuck did I waste all that time?
Yep.
You asshole. You know?
But it's like news. I feel like news people like don't have sports. News is kind of in politics. It's like sports for dorks. You know, if you don't have a sports team, you're going to kind of do that.
Did you ever meet Tom Cruise? Let's get down the brass tacks.
I'm sorry. You guys think we landed on the moon? Okay.
Whitney, I don't care what we did or where we did it. Did you ever hang out with Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise.
We're running out of time. I want to know.
Tom Cruise. No, but I did have a little bit of a brush with Scientology.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
thought about
when
it?
I first moved to LA, a friend of mine who was like, they kind of track people that are sort of like making it in the business. And she was in a movie. They invited her to go to brunch, like at the castle on
Franklin,
right?
Yeah.
And we go and I'm in. Like, I am so sold on this thing. Because again, like, I grew up poor. I come out to Hollywood. Right. Hollywood's kind of a shithole. And I was just like, what? This isn't Hollywood. Like, this isn't at all what I... And then I went to the Scientology Center. It's like, I was like, this is a cat. This is where I want to be. Right. And they take us on this tour. And I was like, I'm in. I'd like to do this.
But what's in there? Is it people quiet? Is it like mingling? What is in?
It's kind of just like a weird, like, you know, extra. It feels like extra. Now that I'm older and I've been on TV shows, you know how extras in the background are kind of, but it's like a little much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that. Everyone just kind of feels like they're all like laughing like a little too hard. They're like doing an impression of happy people.
Yeah.
People doing an impression of happy people.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So it's like the opposite of comedy.
That's like North Korea when you're in public, you have to do that.
That's
right?
Exactly what it is. Totally.
Satellite's looking.
Yeah. It's all very, it just feels like everyone's been dressed by a costumer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like two on the nose. But I went there on a Sunday, which is their big recruiting day. So I think everybody dresses up and everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like a beautiful apartment complex. And they give, if you sign up, they will give you a place to live. They give you a job. They promise to put you on TV. I was like, I would love to do this. They're like, we're good. They said no to me because they were trying to recruit my friend, you know?
Right.
So I was rejected by Scientology. So
wow,
I hold a grudge.
They're shaking themselves now, man.
I mean, by the way, every time I talk about them on the podcast, it gets taken off Instagram. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Edit it.
I was writing a Kevin James show. Leah was on season two. She came on. And like season one, we were out on Long Island. The lot was pretty basic. By season two, they had to put up a whole gate. And I'm like, what's with the gate this year? And they're like, well, Leah's on season two and it's for the Scientology. And there would be a van out in the parking lot. And she'd point it out and tell us that's the van. And it was so crazy because it was like, because she was doing that show at the time, the reality show.
Sure.
Them. And,
yeah.
And it was like, if you just don't come with the van, she's got no show. You're giving her a show by being here with the van.
100%.
Crazy, man. I couldn't believe it was real.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. That van, really?
Yeah.
So, fascinating religion. But if Tom Cruise asked me to join and to be in a movie, I'm in.
Where? The guy doesn't mess around. I mean, I've heard some pretty wild stories about him. Like, I think it was Bill Hader, who's such a genius, was on SNL, obviously, for ages. And Tom Cruise came on SNL, right? He was like on for something. And he was married to Katie Holmes at the time. And you know when like a really famous person tries to act like they're like us?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want you to be like me. Be Ben Stiller. Be De Niro. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so like I worked with a really big celebrity on something once and he was like talking to us. It was like me and a couple scumbag comedians. And we're sort of like, oh, what do you want to do for lunch? And he's like, yeah, what do you guys want to do for lunch? And his assistant brought up like a glass Tupperware of like steamed broccoli. It was like, here's your lunch. He's like, I'm eating with them. What is that? Like he totally like pretended that like he's like, I don't want that. Why would you bring me that? So what are we gonna do, guys? And we're like,
yeah, it's layers. This has got layers.
So,
good listener,
so
right here.
Cares?
Good listener.
Anyway, so Tom Cruise is like trying to like be cool around the, you know, SNL writers are in the room or whatever. And I don't know who it is who said, so Tom, like, what's it like being Tom Cruise? Like someone just like asked him that. And apparently he goes, ah, you know, it's I'm just like you guys. Me and Katie, we have the same exact problems. You know, she'll come home and she'll be like, ah, they were out of ravioli at the ravioli store. So like, does he think there's a ravioli store? Or he's like, I'm just like you guys.
I didn't even get that.
No, I go to a ravioli store.
I was going
to
say, you know what? The only two people that actually but to be clear, Tom Cruise doesn't. Some assistant goes somewhere else it's made in his basement. You go to a store with just ravioli?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's called a pasta store.
It's called Raviolis R Us, and it's an amazing story. By the way, ring came off.
Oh, boom.
Oh, no. But how are we going to know? I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat.
About came off?
About, no, just your pulse.
Yeah, you're just winging it right now.
Yeah, I'm going to wing it for the last next half hour. When you leave, I'll put it back on
again. The hot hangs in.
And then is it in an app?
It's in an app, yeah.
Okay, got it, got it.
Yeah.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
I thought when you said ravioli store, like meaning the store where you'd get ravioli. I didn't know, like,
of
yeah.
Of course I did this in front of Italian people. Okay, most people would be like, oh, he's so rich and out of touch that he thinks there's a store that, like, he was just in Positano.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where they do have ravioli stores.
That's what I got.
I think it's Positano,
where do I go?
But I'll let
that
slide.
Store?
I don't even think she said it.
They're out because I'm on it all. This is like, that was crazy to everybody else. You know what I mean? Right. Like him trying to make small talk.
Well, interesting you say that because I was watching the Grammys and I saw Taylor Swift lean over to another table and go, hi, I saw her lips. I'm Taylor. And I'm like, all right.
But wouldn't it be obnoxious if she didn't introduce herself?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it reaches a point where you're so famous, you just say hi.
I think that's annoying. But
you just said you can't stand when famous people try to act like they're not famous. You just said that. I'm trying to agree with
that's
you.
That's not.
We would have lasted a half hour.
She's not like if Taylor Swift came up to you and it was just like hi.
Yes. Right. Oh, then I'd go to him. Oh, bro, no name. She doesn't say the name.
Yeah, okay. Do you know what? It would just be so obnoxious. I think that's just like basic human decency and like a habit.
Oh, but you're ripping on Tommy C for calling it a ravioli store. Okay. Boy, you got a fine line.
This was like, I really did not know my audience on this one. A ravioli store is a wild concept to someone that like did not grow up. Is there really a ravioli store in L.A.?
No, I'm
okay,
kidding.
Got there, it. Okay, none. See? They're pathological liars. Dom's. Yeah, but it's got other things. It's got jams. It's got jellies.
Yeah,
it's got
all kinds of things.
It's not a ravioli store.
I know.
But you could call whatever you're getting. Like, if I was getting yogurt, I'm going to the yogurt store. Like,
there
I'm going
is
to
a
store
yogurt
that
store, though.
That's all right. That was a bad example.
Literally, all yogurt is sold alone at stores and its own thing.
All right. I think you're hanging on. He said the wrong thing. He meant to say supermarket.
Guys are
he said ravioli story. And you're walking around telling the story over and over.
I'll let go when you let go. Okay.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. let it go.
Who's have you ever been starstruck?
Yeah, yeah. I had dinner with Billy Joel, and I was so good. I was fly on the walls. Me, Kevin James, Chaz Palminteri, and Billy Joel after his concert.
Wait, hold on. Slow down.
Right.
Chaz Palminteri
owns a restaurant.
Got it.
And
who's that?
Bronx Tale.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. That bothered me too.
That bothered me.
I mean, I feel like I knew that person. I feel like I've seen him on Raya. I don't know. Chaz Palminteri.
Right.
Wow.
Who's Chaz Palminteri?
Oh my God. You gonna keep doing this? Yeah.
My goal.
Take a moment and think about that. That's crazy. This guy's like, it's just huge. For Italians.
Okay, let me just get some context here, okay?
Yeah, so he owns a restaurant.
Well, he's an actor.
Okay, got it. Of course. Okay, got it.
Yeah, he's another one. What's the other one with the other big all movie with all the celebrities or stars in it?
Stuart Little.
Analyze
this. Got it.
No. Usual Suspects.
That's it. That's it. Usual Suspects. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Anyway, he's at the dinner with Palminteri, who owns the restaurant. And go ahead.
I was writing on Kevin's show. Nice. I had just known him for like 2 weeks, Kevin. He's from Long Island too, and he knows I love Billy Joel. And he's like, he's good friends with him. We're gonna go see him tonight in the Garden. All right. So I meet Billy backstage, and he's talking about Tony Bennett singing tonight. And I go, and he goes, Tony, we got to keep up with him. You never know where Tony's going to go. And I go to Billy. Oh, no, I saw you at Shea Stadium. I don't even think Tony knew he was outdoors.
Uh-huh.
And Billy laughed a little. And then I bring that up because about 2 minutes later, he goes to Kevin, we don't have to show. And Kevin's like, no, and why? And he goes, let's go. I'm going to have a dinner. I'm going to Chaz Palminteri's restaurant for dinner. And in my head, I'm like, it was the Tony Bennett comment. That got me in, right? So then I go there. And again, I had been drinking the whole show, so I also didn't want to, like, not, I'm singing, drinking, so I didn't want to say much, just drunk. And, we chatted very little. I didn't say much. I was just letting everyone else, Billy was with a woman and Chaz was his wife. And then at the end, I said, nice to meet you. He took a photo with me. I said, big fan, blah, blah, blah. And then he's waiting for his limo, and I got a few with me, and I go back out there, and I'm like, hey, Billy. I see you wearing the Met hat. I'm a Yankee fan. I thought you liked the Yankee. I could feel the cringe come on. I'm like goosebumps.
You couldn't just let it go.
Yeah, it was almost,
had to sabotage it.
I did. I ruined it for myself. Brutal. He's like, no, I like them both. And I'm like, oh my God, you're imitating what I do to people outside the funny mall.
At the time.
There's something about, I used to do this when I first moved to LA, when I first met celebrities, when I first moved here, I would just ask them how much money they had. I didn't think it was a weird question. Like, I didn't realize how sort of tacky that is, I guess. Like, I met, Hank Azaria, and he was like, oh, nice to meet you. And I was like, how much money do you have, total? And he'd be like, what? And I was like, oh. Wow. I didn't think that was weird at all. I was just, curious.
Right.
And I was at the Friars Club once. I think it was for the Quentin Tarantino roast, and I asked Sam Jackson, and he answered right away. He went $18 million. And I was like, oh. Again, I had no money. That didn't sound like a lot.
Right.
At the time, I'm 22 years old. It's like Sam Jackson. I think he's got $500 billion. I don't know how anything works. He's
surprise, 18 million.
That's what, and that's what I did. I was like, oh, and then he got he was like, well, no, I mean, liquid, I got a boat. And then he starts kind of and then I'm like, oh my God, I have negative 40,000. So please don't, it was spiraled into this thing. Yeah. He's like, I got the ex-wife and I got property over here. And it's like, that's just, I got assets and 401k. And I was like, oh my God.
Let me give it.
Yeah, totally.
So funny. The whole portfolio.
Yeah, the first person to actually tell me, I was like, oh, that's it. I was trying to figure out how to be a person in the world.
Have you been starstruck?
Yeah, I got starstruck once by Forrest Whitaker in a Starbucks, and I was so starstruck that when I'm starstruck, I just act rude because I respect the person's time so much and I don't want to waste it or embarrass myself after I did that so many times. So he was like, Whitney Cummings, such a big fan. And I was like, thanks. And I walked outside and I sat in my car and I was like, you have to go back in there. You have got to go back in there and apologize. That was so rude. Why do you have a duck on your knee, Cancifus? What kind of pig farm are you running over here?
That just notifies us of time. So
tells that we've done an hour of content.
It's funny. No one else has recognized the thing except for the comedian. The comedian.
Funny is something even funnier.
It's funny, isn't it?
You didn't even hear it. He catch it on the tape. She goes, "What's with the duck?" I'm trying to save him. I go, "He's always walking around with that thing." And you tell the truth. I was going to lie to Whitney about a fucking duck.
Cause no.
Fucking Forrest Gump over here. Guys, like, here's my duck.
I'd rather have you think this guy walks around with a duck.
But I know him.
No,
but
I've had tears in my eyes a lot this show. That's awesome, man. I never do.
Hey, Pat, no one was like, Pat can just go.
Why can't
Pat just hold his hand up?
He's the one that fucking said him. He's like, I can bring a duck in here.
What? Yeah.
That's what he said.
Pat.
Oh my God. I think he goes back to Whitney and goes, I have them using a duck.
literally, when it's been an hour, Pat goes,
We've been ducking, and no one's noticed. The duck is normally there.
He's so weird looking that you would think maybe he has the duck because he's trying to quit smoking. So he carries a duck to quit smoking, you know, like something like that.
Just like pedophile brings it over to try to talk to your kids.
The only one who could have a duck on his knee, and most people wouldn't notice, but you do.
Wait,
none of your guests have noticed that there was no duck, and then all of a sudden there's
nobody
a duck.
Voiced it. Uh-huh. Actually, you know who does this, and I don't know. Bobby Lee does something like this where
Lee's mentally ill.
Yeah.
I expect more from you two.
This was supposed to be over there. You were not supposed to see the duck.
I mean,
and when he has it on his knee, like it's a fucking pet. Someone's going to make a reference to it.
But also, by the way, I am a new mom and I'm like very interested in duckies at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, is this the one that tells the temperature in the top? I'm like, which one is that?
Nobody knew about it. So now future shows, people are going to write messages. Yeah. Give him the duck. the duck, in defense of the duck, it's for guests that we don't particularly, if we're not having, it never happened yet, but if we're having a bad time, it's good to know when the hour's over and you can wrap it.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, ignore the duck. You've been fantastic.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, you're beyond duck. Did that make any sense?
I was just told to wrap it up with a,
fucking bullshit.
With a child's toy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll do something else. Maybe a figurine. Star Wars figurine. I don't know. Listen.
Can't you just say it's been an hour?
No. No one said anything about the duck until you. And I'm not worried about it. So I want to ask a question before you leave. Your beautiful child here. And so gracious of you to take some time
out. Yeah, I said it before the show, too. Congratulations.
What do you mean? Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I had to. Female comedians, if they don't have kids, they become activists.
Well.
This could have gone south.
You know, talking about you came here poor and you come to Los Angeles. Our female comedians.
I don't see gender.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry.
This is why I'm literally thrown off with guests. Do female comedians, are they supportive of one another?
Were you going to touch my arm? Just curious.
I was, but it was too far.
Uh-huh.
I stopped short.
I could see. I think you misjudged it.
I stopped short.
Because I could tell that he was like, I need to figure out a way to make her not interrupt me. And you were going to do like this power move. Like,
a little touch. You know what? A little touch goes, wait a minute. Let me talk.
Yeah, I got this one. And then it's her.
I feel like my questions are not like they're falling on deaf ears here.
I tried to bring back the other one, and then you made me bail on it.
No, because it was too far gone. But the female
power move. I gotta say though, when she called that a power move, it's a woman's a troublemaker. I could never like your father did great. He wanted to raise you a certain way, and boy did he.
Yeah.
But she saw that as that's a power move. Yeah, you're shutting my voice down.
You stay where you're supposed to be. Oh, no,
man. I don't think it's just an Italian thing.
It's like, hey, let's go to the ravioli store. I got it.
So good.
Is there a support system within the female stand-up community?
No.
Or is it very competitive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I believe with everybody like with this support now, like, oh, we're supporting this and that. Is that a front? Or are people really happy for other people that are making it? I mean,
are you?
Not really.
There's your answer. Yeah.
I mean, no. Like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm so, yeah, no. supportive. It's, man, it's fucking, what's well, fuck?
It's, so she saw how I was when I met you in Montreal.
No, trust me. It's like, I like you know, when you get to the point where people are like, I got into comedy because of you, and you're like, fuck. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's all these like girls at the comedy store that are getting great set times. So, like, you're my hero. You're why I got into comedy. I'm like, well, get out. Okay? Get out of here, dude.
You're getting in my way. Yeah. You're taking jobs.
Get the fuck out of my way, bitch. You know, it's interesting. I truly do like supporting just anyone, guys, girl. I don't really see the gender part of it. Not because I don't see gender. I definitely do. And if, but like, I enjoy seeing people do well. And I think doing podcasting, like, you want people to come on and kill. Do you know what I mean? You want people to be funny. You don't want people to come on and bomb. You know, we need guests. So I think that there is this symbiotic relationship with podcasting where you know.
But, that's true.
Yeah.
Everyone's podcasting now. So, you know, if you want them to come on your cast, it's not like the old days when no one had anything to offer.
It's like mutually beneficial, I feel like, you know, but I do think that it's also forced me to be more social, you know, and also it's also a nice way to not have to be social when you go out to the clubs. If someone wants to talk to you, you're like, let's podcast. Let's do this for money. Right. We don't have to do this for free.
Yeah.
You know, let's do this, you know, let's monetize our conversation. Right. So it's also, but I do think a little bit like, you know, I used to find a lot of comfort and sanity in being able to talk to comedians in the green room, even if it's for 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there. Like, how was that gig for you? How was this thing for you? What was your walkout? Just whatever. Yeah. And now everything is for public consumption and we've stopped kind of just being real friends.
That's
so that might not be healthy, but I don't know. I mean, girls, look, I'm sure that there's the same kind of competition with guys, but I do think that because there's such a scarcity complex with the girls, because it used to be like Nikki Glaser and I always talk about that. Like, it used to be me or you. There was one that needed to be on the lineup. It was going to be me or it was going to be you. So we were sort of more pitted against each other. But you know.
That's changing though now.
I think maybe. I don't really think about it. Mm. Like, comedy's so hard. I'm not looking for ways to make it harder. I'm like, let's be enemies. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's funny when you say when I'm on the road a lot of times, like the person open for me, like I'm like, where's so and so? I don't have a set person. When I go someplace, I like to choose somebody. And he's hanging out, blah, blah. I go bring him or her in. Let's chat, you know? But because that same thing, I like that vibe. But so often now, like, it's so different now that after a little while, I'm like, all right, so good luck out there.
Godspeed.
That's my way of saying, get the fuck out now. I'm going to call an old comic friend of mine, see if he's off stage. We're going to talk from our green room because I can't relate to this sometimes, you know?
That's so interesting.
And then they'll say that they love somebody who I don't like. You know, the comedian, like, oh man, we just saw so and so last week. And in my head, I'm like, get the fuck. You know,
they probably are trying to make small talk to make you like them.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're probably like, we saw so and so. They were awesome. And they think they're going to get on your good side. And you're just like.
Well, I was telling him, I'll even say where I was playing Portland and I've never been
there. Maine
yet.
Or
Oregon.
Oregon.
Oh. And I was overwhelmed by everything, the homeless and all that. You know, and it was just after an ice storm.
It's a mess.
It is a mess. And it was bringing me down. And the show was great. I had a great time with the people, but it was like a weird night and it was an ice storm. And I come off and the MC was a weird dude, the opener. And I go back to the green room and he goes, he says something like, How was it? Like it was such a random thing. And I had just had enough of it on a roll out. I go, hey, Pete, great set. It's been so fun working with you. Nice to meet you. Hope I can do it again. Jesus, fuck.
Did you do that?
I said all that. I go, Jesus, fuck. And then I walk by. He goes, oh, I go, dude, don't even bother now.
So the set wasn't great.
No, it was fine. that's what you're getting out of. That's good. That's interesting.
So it didn't go well.
No. No, it did. And I thought that was such a weird thing to say, you know?
Uh-huh. Dude, I hate that shit. I cannot stand it when people say like backhanded compliments when you come off stage. Like, you come off stage, you think you did well, and someone's like, you're too smart for them.
Right.
You're just I think I did fine. What?
Right.
I hate that shit.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Or like you come off stage and they're just like, weird crowd.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't think they were weird.
Right.
But do you say that or do you just go, because he's got you actually saw what the comedian actually saw that night.
Yeah, he snapped. Yeah.
Are you able to hold that in or do you give a snide comment back? How do you handle that?
I definitely hold it in because I have an insecurity that people already think I'm a bitch because I just have a bitchy face or if I, you know, I just will now, if it's someone at my, like if you said that to me, I'd be like, what are you doing? what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'd make fun of it or whatever. Right, we'd have a joke about it. But if it's someone who's like a feature, an opener or something, I'm just like...
But they get away with this poor behavior. So much of the young people today, this like mousy bullshit, like, because they never get called on it, man.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know how to communicate, just
don't at all.
Don't
at all.
I've done that through my years. I've always made a point when I'm playing someplace, if I don't like the guy on or gal, or I don't think they're funny, I've actually, if I'm in the path when they come off, I'll move. Like, as a comic, I won't stand there because I don't want to say to you, good set, because that's not true. So
Last time I was in Portland, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead. I thought you were going to say I walked away.
Helium. I did that Helium. Like, I'll go up there to just like work out new material in small clubs. And I always try to say, like, let's get a local feature, local opener, local host, because it gives them work. You know what I mean? It's so hard to get stage time. You're trying to help them out, right? It's too expensive to move.
And they get to work with you. That's awesome.
He took a shit in the bathroom of the green room.
Oh, my.
Show one Friday, 7 p.m. show Friday night. That I had to bite my tongue about the entire weekend.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
The level of disrespect.
That is.
There's a bathroom, I mean, truly like 40 yards away.
Right.
In the green room.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't say anything.
Right. Yeah, that's a dick move.
That is. Have you ever had them in the green room, the opener and his girlfriend or boyfriend, and then that opener goes to go on, the girlfriend's sitting there. I'm like, it's a package deal. Everybody get the fuck out.
The less funny they are, the more people they have with them.
Oh, yeah.
That's
always
true.
This is how I knew Sebastian was going to make it. He never one time came to the Comedy Store with one person, not a girl, not a friend, nobody. Nobody.
Yeah, he performs with his car keys in his pocket.
Yes. He's out. He comes in like a panther, in, out.
I'll tell you what, you bring up a great point. I never perform with anything in my pocket, a wallet, keys, or anything. And I want your take on this. My take is, I feel like if you're performing, that's the uniform.
Uh-huh.
And if you came up there with a wallet in your pocket, you almost become one of the audience. Because even to do what Jay Leno was saying, if you got a Band-Aid on your finger, people are going to go, well, what's with the Band-Aid? He's going to address it.
But if your finger's bleeding, they're going to go, what's with the bleeding on us?
That's that too.
I mean, he'd also just caught on fire. Use the Band-Aid.
But don't you think if people looked and saw a wallet in your pocket, they would associate you with, oh, I wonder what he's got in the wallet. Yep. Does he have cash in the wallet?
It breaks a little of the illusion, the magic.
Like if Michael Jackson was performing, he had a fucking wallet on him, I go, get the fuck. This guy's one of us.
Yeah.
He don't have a wallet. Right. I like thinking, this guy don't even have a wallet.
Totally, man.
No?
No, I know what he's saying.
Like, do you come on stage, like... with any, like a purse or like you, like,
why was that a purse? Oh, you know, God, you gals.
No, but like that would be your equivalent of a wallet. Like, hell, let me put this here.
Yeah.
You know, like
when you're really having a good set, do you take your heels off and go barefoot? Holy shit.
Do you bring out your lady billfold? Like, what?
I'm just saying,
or do you
like,
just keep your keys in your pussy? Like, so couple things. Number one, I actually find, and I'm just saying this as a person, when someone comes on a plane with nothing, that's more distracting to me.
Yes.
So I'm trying to think, if I'm coming to see Sebastian, I see no wallet, no keys, I'm like, does he keep him in the car? Where's his wallet? Does he just have, like, I would probably, because I have comedian brain, I would be noticing the thing nobody else noticed, you know? Yeah. I come out usually with a purse, yes, because I'm not going to leave it in the green room with the filthy fentanyl rattled animals at the comedy store.
Hold on. Talking comedy club, let's say we see you in a theater.
Okay.
Are you coming out with the purse?
No. Okay. Nothing. Not a thing.
Okay.
Not a thing.
All right.
Don't even have pockets, frankly. Usually don't have pockets at all because I try to dress up more. You've actually inspired me a lot about that. I went to Vegas one time and I was so ashamed. I was doing the Win or something and I was wearing like a nice hoodie. You know what I mean? It was like a nice one. And I had like a bedazzled tank top underneath. I was kind of still in the stage where I was like, oh, I don't want to come off too feminine. I don't want to like be a distraction. I just kind of want to neuter myself. I was I'm very, the word isn't calculated, but I put a lot of thought into what I wear for things as to not be distracting, but also be comfortable. And, you know, I'm pretty physical on stage. And I wore this like fancy hoodie over a thing. And I came out and I saw this woman in like a gown. It was like a sparkly gown. And I, the whole time, was like, why the fuck am I wearing this hoodie? It's a nice hoodie, but it just looked like a hoodie.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it made me so ashamed. But I think sometimes you need moments like that to kind of level up.
But wasn't there a woman like 2 feet away in a dirty sweatshirt?
Covered
and you go, okay, I'm all right.
Yeah, holding a newborn.
The whole place wasn't in gowns.
Wearing a Senior Frogs tube top. Yes. But it was just this moment where it was like, I was just embarrassed. And I'm sure nobody cared. And they were like, she's so relatable. And, you know, I'm sure nobody thought about it except me. But I really, you know, it's like now you see people show up on stage in pajamas and you're just like, what are you doing?
I know.
But I also think as you get older, I think for me when I was younger, it made a little more sense, you know, but now it's kind of like, I really want to convey that I'm, you know, showing respect. So I don't wear jeans on stage anymore, or usually things with pockets.
See, now I have a pair of jeans I wear. I like them, and a sweater, but I've come to the point now it's my uniform. So, because I would spend so much time in freaking hotel mirror, you know, so I'm like, same thing every night. Just like takes a load off, man. You ever thought about that?
I wasn't listening.
That's fair enough. Yeah. And it's not worth repeating, so we're all good. Yeah. Okay. Get the duck back out.
Get the duck back up.
Holy shit.
I didn't think you were going to come back to me on it.
Well, I thought we were doing a show.
Like a two-way conversation.
I didn't realize you were giving a deposition.
When you talk, I tune out.
I was already thinking about like, oh, a place we could go next like, do you bring your phone on stage? Because I was like, oh, when I do have a pocket, I will bring my phone out, put it on the stool, because then at the end of shows now it feels like you got to do that audience shot or like shooting it, you know what I mean? So sometimes I will bring my phone.
I don't like that.
I don't either, but it feels like you got to do it, or else people like,
you were never there.
You were never you're irrelevant. You retired from comedy. I don't even want to do it. I don't even know how to do it. At the end when you're like, hey guys, let's do an Instagram, and you're like doing this embarrassing thing. So, but you don't bring your phone on stage.
I record with it. That's it. But I don't hold it up and do the backdrop with the crowd.
Where are we with the crowd work videos? Are we doing crowd work videos?
Oh, God, no, none of that. None of that.
Do you find that the audience is now, I find the audience has now been trained to just yell at you. Heckling is an all-time high because everyone's there to get in your video. I have to tell them, I'm not filming this.
Right.
Let's just have a show.
I try to meet the crowd afterwards. I obviously don't play the level, the size sometimes of you guys. So I was playing like a place and it was like 1,000. It was on the Long Island was sold out. So I told them, I can't, there's too many, I can't meet you. So I go, but if you want to take a photo, pull them out, take it out, right?
I do that. I mean, it drives me nuts when I look out and I see someone's face lit by their phone. I mean, Miami is always the worst. I remember one time I was performing in Miami and shows are always at 9. Like the first show's at 9 in Miami, right? And everyone's just like on blow, just out of their minds, their first show at 9 o'clock. God. And there were these girls in the audience and they were just like filming the entire show. And I was like doing some new material. And I was like, and I finally just said to them, you know, cause they were just, I was just looking at their phone the whole show. I was like, do you guys mind just like not filming? I just haven't done this material yet. And they were like, oh, we're not filming you. We're filming ours. Like the arrogance of thinking that I was the thing worth filming here, because they were just filming themselves watching the show. You know what I mean? And so I was just like, I can never, like, I'm so traumatized and embarrassed by that that I will never ask someone to stop filming. But yeah, I don't do that. Do you do that? Your audiences are probably pretty.
No, I don't. I noticed though, my whole set was up on YouTube from Las Vegas. Somebody filmed the whole thing. So then we got to take the, you know, call.
You send one message and they take it down. I mean, like, I have a friend who, he makes money from filming clips from football games and putting them on YouTube, and then he'll make the, like, some ad money, and then they'll take it down right away. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, so some people, I guess, are just, like, trying to make money, or I don't know.
But that's not cool. That's not cool. I mean,
But they'll usually take it down right away for copyright.
They took it down. They took it down. But we had to facilitate that. So
this has been awesome. Listen, it really has.
That was abrupt.
I mean, the duck came out a long, long time.
Yeah. No, are you guys going to say goodbye and thank you for listening or any of that?
No.
That was it.
Listen, we cut these really abrupt.
Okay.
10 years, no money.
No.
The show has ended.
This was this was supposed to be over there. You were not supposed to see the duck. And it, when he has it on his knee, like it's a fucking pet. Someone's going to make a reference to it.